So very good to see everyone this morning. We're thankful to God for the opportunity to be together, to encourage one another, and to lift up our voices as we have, and I hope that you've been encouraged by that and lifted up in your faith and your desire to serve the Lord this morning. So good to see each and every one of you here with us today. And it is so good to see Sister Karen. I noticed that she got a little emotional when she came in this morning. When you've been away for the length of time that she has and you missed the Lord's worship and you missed the Lord's people, that's something to get emotional about. So we're so very, very thankful to see her this morning and glad that she's back with us and doing some better and able to get out. That's an encouragement to each and every one of us. I'd like for you to take out your Bibles this morning and follow along with us as we look at some passages of Scripture from the Word of God. And at the outset, I might just mention to you that this lesson will be a little bit different than the norm as far as perhaps the quantity of passages that we will look at, a little less than normal as we turn our attention to something that I personally am very, very concerned about. Not only in my own life, but in the lives of others as I observe them and the things that maybe we deal with in our culture, in our time, and in our families. And I hope that that you'll give me some feedback about this lesson in particular, that you might, as you reflect on these things and think on these things, I'd love to hear some of what you would think and what you would say about some of the things to which we will turn our attention this morning. So I'd love to hear from you on that. You know, through history, there have been a lot of epochs of time or eras, ages, as we go back and we look at the history of man. We look at the Iron Age, the Bronze Age, maybe the Industrial Age. You can go to the Space Age. You can go down through the list of different ages that we've been through. But what is our age right now? If you were to characterize the time in which we live right now, what would you say would be this age? For me, I think, and I think it has well been maybe described as the technological age or the age of electronics. And I want for us to talk a little bit about the age in which we live, and some things that I've been thinking about. And never have computers and devices been more available than they are right now to the masses, cheaply, very simply, very easy to obtain. And most everybody has one. In fact, I think if I were to poll the audience, how many of you have your cell phones with you this morning? How many brought those? I'd love to see the hands of everybody that has a cell phone with them. Most everybody. Maybe a few left them in your car, but most everybody has a cell phone, and largely now we're using them even for our Bibles and things of that sort. So we recognize the amount that we use those. Have you ever had a bad moment with a cell phone? I've had a moment or two that I regret. I remember we were partaking of the Lord's Supper one Sunday, and one sister out in the audience, Sister Frieda, had her cell phone with her, had forgotten to put it on silent, and right when the plate was being passed, the song came, and you know some of the tunes on your ringtones, "We Are Family," began to just go on, and she couldn't stop it, and she couldn't figure out how to stop it, and so it just kept playing, and so eventually I think she just kind of laid down on it or something to keep it from making noise. But, you know, we're all familiar with these devices that we have in our hands, some of the unfortunate things sometimes that happen with them, but there's a lot of good things, and I think about the things that I see on these social media things that we have. You know, to turn and see a new baby that's been born, or to see one of our brethren, maybe Ben and Kara, up on the top of a mountain somewhere, and they're posting about that. Or maybe someone has run a 10K, and they post about that, and we see that. Or something else going on in their life. Maybe Leanne is walking a dog. Maybe she's with her grandchildren, those things that she loves. We see that. We know that. We kind of know what's going on in each other's lives, and that's great. And that's a very good thing and a very positive thing. And there's so many neat things that we can do now that we could not do before. I would never want to go back to the day, some of you may remember this, of searching through microfiche at the library. You know, we don't have to thankfully go and scroll through all of that and try to find things. We just press a button, we insert something in Google, and now it's available to us. And I would never want to go back to that kind of system. So I'm thankful for technology, and I'm thankful that I don't have to pay 25 cents a minute to contact my significant other, my girlfriend on the other side of the country. Don't have to do that anymore, thankfully. And I'm talking about in the past, not now. Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. You know, there's such great advantages to this, and we're thankful for that. And we're grateful to God for some of those things that we now enjoy that we didn't before. But I guess that if you were to think about that, you would also recognize that there are some great challenges related to that. And I think most of us are familiar with things like this. When we look at what's going on in our time, when we look at what's going on around us, we see some problems. And we see that these little things have kind of taken over. And in some cases, you know, you go to the movie theater, how many lights do you see in the theater when the movie's actually going on? Or you see parents that have kids and they're concentrating on their device and those kids are sitting there waiting to be pushed in the swing. Or here's the picture of Michigan State, 3 seconds on the clock and a guy's looking at his phone instead of looking at what's going on. Tragically, we see when we go to the restaurants, the picture there that's kind of in the middle, with greater frequency, where families are together, but they're not together. And they're in one place, but they are not engaged with one another. And we see those kind of things. And I'm sure that there are, you know, pictures of my family that could be posted as well that somewhat depict that, but only in moments. The sad thing is that for many people it's not just moments. That really characterizes our day-to-day, hour-to-hour, moment-to-moment kind of existence. And so we're seeing a huge cultural and global shift. And, you know, there's even people, you know, you get online and you see people that are posting in order to get more likes. And so it's all about, you know, what can I do to get a little more attention? That's all over the world. You know, a picture of a guy getting a selfie with a cobra. You know, not something you see every day. Or, you know, here are these folks running away from the bulls, and they're holding their cell phones up, and the picture kind of got cut off, but there's 3 or 4 people there with their cell phones as they're running away from these bulls about to be gored. You know, you see this kind of thing all the time now, and the exaggerated nature of just trying to, in some way, sometimes, just be noticed. But we see that could be a problem for us. The fact of the matter is that largely social media has made us less social. Do you agree with that? Made us less socially graceful. We're talking to somebody and we're pulling our phone out, checking a message or some notification that goes off, and we're not engaged. And I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about everybody. So this lesson is not just for the young people, although I would really, really like it if you young people, if you're over the age of 5, that you would pay very, very close attention to the things that we say this morning. The screen has clearly become one of the most attractive things to humanity as a whole, whether that is the TV or a smartphone or an iPad or an iWatch or whatever the case may be. That has attracted the attention of this world in which we live. And so for this morning, I want for us to turn our attention to a topic that I think is of utmost importance in our time. We see that this isn't something that just started recently. You know, you go through the Bible and you can see advancement. You can see technologically that people have been progressing for a long, long time. But sadly, as Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 8 says, that they worship the work of their own hands. Many times men have turned to their own advancements, their own technological progress, and they have confidence in themselves, and their attention is turned to that rather than turning to God. So we can go back and we can look at things that come along in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. Music begins to take a place in men's lives, and that there's the father of those instruments. And then, you know, the bronze and iron things that were made from very early in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 22. Building and craftsmanship, Exodus 35, 31 through 35. You see those kind of advancements and details and improvements that are going on. And remember, even in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were entering into the land of Canaan, that they were afraid. And they were afraid because that there were some people in that area, especially in the mountains, but that they had iron chariots. And for them, that technology and that advancement was a problem. And they were fearful of that as they looked at their enemies. Look over at 2 Chronicles. Look at this passage, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 15. Talking about Uzziah the king, talking about advancement, things that they were doing in order to protect themselves. He says, and he made devices, maybe your version says machines. He made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he had was marvelously helped till he became strong. Devices are nothing new. Machines are nothing new. And these devices that we have, that we use, can certainly be advantageous. But many times I think that they draw us in a place that perhaps we don't want to go. And I want for us to look at that in just a minute. I am concerned that this liberty of ours has perhaps developed into something that is not always helpful. Some notable statistics, folks, that I want you to pay attention to for a moment. And maybe do some self-examination here as you think about your day-to-day routine and the things that you do. These statistics are taken from Pew Research or Nielsen. There's several different places that basically have similar numbers to these. So the average cell phone usage per day is 2 hours and 51 minutes. That's across the board. And 46 checks per day. What do I mean by a check? I think you probably know what that means. That means just out of the blue, you go and you pick up that phone and you look at it. And so 46 times a day in general, that is being done. That's the average across the board of people that maybe it's a notification, maybe it's a buzz, maybe it's just you checking something, but 46 times. And if you do the math, that adds up to about 86 hours a month from a cumulative standpoint that people are on their cell phones in a dedicated way. And I wonder, as I think about myself, how do I stack up there? I haven't done the homework. But I'm fearful that it's much larger than I think it is. And I'm concerned that there's a lot of things that maybe could be done with some of that time. Productive things, good things. Things that are outside. Things that are good and wholesome. When was the last time that we played games as a family? You know, what are we missing by those 86 hours of time? In the 18 to 24 age group, there is an average of 4 hours a day and 74 checks per day. And that's for like college students and things of that sort. In fact, there's a study that was done that college students that were made to leave their phone elsewhere during a test, if it was outside the room or they couldn't bring it into the classroom, that their average grades went down one letter grade. Why? Because they were concerned about what was going on with their phone while it was away from them. So we see these kind of things. The largest percentage of time is not educational, but social media and entertainment. Across all age groups, most people check their phone within 5 minutes of waking up, and a lot of that being social media. One-third, here's a statistic that will scare you a little bit. One-third of all waking hours are spent looking at a device or a screen. Does that scare anybody else? Does that concern anybody else? I think that concerns me, and that half of all young people actively are connected to the internet at least 10 hours a day. Always there, always available, always at our fingertips. So, at these rates, the average person will easily spend more than 5 complete years of their lives looking at screens and mobile devices. And I'm talking about 5 complete years. So I think there's a need for us to think about this. And can I encourage us to consider this? Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, that we are not cheated by philosophy and empty deceit. And I don't think he's talking about that there, but we need to be careful lest we are cheated. Cheated out of some very good things. Because perhaps we're not paying attention to this as we ought to. And there are some things that I may miss if I am unable to exercise discipline in certain areas of my life. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, we've been studying in 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. And we need to be concerned about that in terms of our day-to-day lives and the things that we do. And so when you look at the statistics and when you look at the world and when you look at families, if we are honest with ourselves, we are facing some, I think, very serious headwinds and serious challenges that we need answers for and that we need to think about. And concerns that we have. And I thought about a little bit about the parable of the sower. Of the thorns that rise up and can just choke us out. And I'm not saying, and I don't want to leave the impression that I'm anti-cell phones or anti-devices or anything else. But what I do recognize is that there are things in this world that can choke us and can stifle us and inhibit us in certain ways. The problem is, many times with these, is that we're planting them ourselves. And that's a concern. The American Academy of Pediatrics, those of you with little folks, this is coming from a group that's well known about, that's dedicated to the health of children. Helpful guidelines, they say, for screen use for little ones. Age 0 to 18 months, there should not be any at that age. 18 months to 3 years, they say 30 minutes. 3 years to 5 years, 1 hour, and then 6 years and up should be greatly limited, they say. And so they talk about some things about sleep, about the fact that kids are not getting the amount of sleep that they need to, just from having a device in the room, supposedly that affects it, by parents' use of media. And this Academy of Pediatrics talks about this and says that parent use of mobile devices causes fewer verbal and nonverbal interactions between parents and children. They can be associated with more parent-child conflict and distracts from parent-child interactions. Further, a parent's screen time is a strong predictor of a child's media habits in the future. Parents, we must think about these things. We must look at ourselves and think about the example that that we have as well, that's so important and so strong. And then even this group says no screen time during meals and 1 hour before bedtime. That's just coming from a secular organization that is seeing the effects of these things across a large swath of people. And it ought to raise our eyebrows and cause us to pay attention. These things that we have are designed to attract us. You know, I used to get magazines, and I used to read a lot more books than I do now. But the thing about a book and a magazine is there's always a chapter break, or there's always an end to the magazine. You can only turn the page so many times. But with these pages, you just keep going and going and going and going and going, and there is no end to it. And they're designed in order to draw us in. There's always one more click. There's a notification to draw us back. There's always something interesting that I haven't seen on the next click. And so that's dangerous. Steve Jobs was asked about the devices that he made about his kids. He was asked, how much do you allow your children to be on the devices that you've created? And he said, that's greatly limited. The CEO of Netflix said, our greatest competitor is Facebook, YouTube, and sleep. What do you think these folks are trying to do? They're trying to attract us. They're trying to draw people in. They're trying to cause dependency. That's what it's all about. And they largely have been very successful with that. The game Fortnite is a global phenomenon, and young people are still enamored with that, even though that may have declined a little bit. But I almost saw a marriage in Alabama be destroyed because a grown man could not put down his gaming in order to show attention to his wife and his children. And that's called gaming addiction, and it's a big problem nowadays. There are some signs that we may have a problem with this, or that people may have a problem with this. Do you panic when you're without it? I mean, real panic. Not just, I wish I had it. But you know, just an inability to function at that point in time. I was at the chiropractor's office the other day, been having some problems, went in there. Up on the wall, there is this sign that is talking about text neck. Well, what is that? That's from people that are constantly having their head in one particular position looking at a phone, and it's causing physiological problems for them. Do we have any of these issues? Texting while driving? Can we not wait about some of those things? Checking it during the night? We get up, we hear this thing going off, it's in our room, we get up and we check it. Phantom pulses. You ever heard of this? You ever had this problem where you're not carrying your cell phone and yet you feel this little twinge like it's going off, electrical pulse in your pocket, and it's not even there? Or maybe someone has said something to you about it. Maybe someone has brought that to your attention, and they have mentioned that to you. That could be a sign that we have a problem. And overuse can lead to a lot of things. Anxiety and worry. And it's not just our anxieties. But young people that are on these devices all the time, it's not just their problems, it's everybody else's problems too. And the anxiety and the worry that they have dealing with all of their peers' issues and things that are going on in their lives. And worry about whether or not I'm stacking up or not. And can you guess as to one thing that has greatly increased over the time of technology concerning young people? One statistic that has gone up about 65% in females and about 50% in males, and that is teenage suicide. How am I stacking up? What am I doing? I don't compare with this person. Body shaming and all of the bullying that may take place. Responsible for lower attention span, loss of sleep, narcissism. What is narcissism? Selfie. You get on people's pages and that's all you see. Me. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. That's narcissism. And while that's not inappropriate to a degree, certainly we have to be careful with that kind of thing because oftentimes that is connected with the desire to measure up. Isolation. You can have 1,000 friends and yet you're just swallowed up by loneliness. It doesn't give you what you need from people. Real relationships, real emotion. Mood swings, social incapacity, lower self-esteem, relegated priorities. Things that ought to come first no longer are coming first. Here's something that's taken over. Altered reward dependence. It's more important for me what the cyber world is saying versus what those that are closest to me are saying. You know, C.S. Lewis saw this coming. In the Screwtape Letters, which is one of my favorite books, if you never read it, it's a great, great book. But he said this in 1941. And that book is about the demons trying to seduce people. And here's advice that Uncle Screwtape gives in order to accomplish that. You will find that anything or nothing is sufficient to attract his wandering attention. You no longer need a good book, which he really likes, to keep him from his prayers or his work or his sleep. A column of advertisements in yesterday's paper will do. You can make him waste his time, not only in conversation he enjoys with people whom he likes, but in conversations with those he cares nothing about, on subjects that bore him. You can make him do nothing at all for long periods. You can keep him up late at night, not roistering, but staring at a dead fire in a cold room. All the healthy and outgoing activities which we want him to avoid can be inhibited and nothing given in return, so that at last he may say, as one of my own patients said on his arrival down here, I now see that I spent most of my life in doing neither what I ought nor what I liked. He saw that coming. And some of the things that are said in that passage are just, you know, so very telling as to where the world even was going when he said those things. Now, he talks about noise in another passage and the influence that they're trying to make just by introducing noise. Noise, distraction, white noise. Get in their head. We will make the whole universe a noise in the end. Research is in progress. We're working on this. Well, they've progressed greatly in terms of that kind of thing. Thank you for your attention to some things that are secular in nature. What does the Bible say about these things? Some things that might can help us as we're thinking about this particular issue. What says the Scriptures about this thing? Sometimes we may recognize that there is relative value that we're talking about. The psalmist says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Worthless things. I don't know what that constitutes, but I know that I've been involved in that. Just of what value are we talking about here? Psalmist says in 101 verses 2 through 4, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. If young people are connected 10 hours a day to the internet, it is absolutely impossible that there's not things coming through. Things that you as a parent would not approve of, and honestly things that they have no business being aware of or seeing. We need to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it spring all the issues of life. If I need to recognize, you know, what's going on with me? How am I doing? What am I doing? And then do something about that. Keep my heart. Let some of these things that are 10 hours a day entering in are affecting me in a very negative way. Or the hearts of our children. And you know, I used to read a book. My mom got me this book when I was just a little kid. Bored, Nothing to Do. Maybe you're familiar with that book. Bored, Nothing to Do. It was all about when there was nothing going on that they built an airplane, they built this and that, and they were doing this rather than just because of, you know, some healthy boredom, some stillness in our lives. Be still and know that I am God. Turn over to Genesis chapter 11 for just a moment. Genesis chapter 11. We've recently studied this in our Sunday morning class, talking about the Tower of Babel. And here we have a group of people in Genesis chapter 11 that were making some huge mistakes. God had told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. They decided that they didn't really want to do that. They decided that technologically they could advance and that they could go to the very heavens, that they would build a city and they would build a tower to the heavens. And as we read this and we see what happens to them, as in verse 3, they say to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." That kind of takes us back to when God said, "Let us make man." Now man is saying, "Let us do this, and that, and that." And they are becoming a god to themselves. Let us make bricks. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, verse 4, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose tops is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." They are not doing what I told them to do, and that was to fill the earth. Now they're congregating in one place. They think they know what's best for themselves. They're building a tower into the heaven and becoming a god to themselves. "Come, let us go down," and they're confused, their language, "that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Let's talk about towers. Let's talk about towers for a second. You know, what can we learn from this? That man's capacity does not always lead him closer to God. That man's ability does not always engender him to have a closeness with the Lord. And their ability and their power and what they were doing was in no way leading them closer to the Lord, which they should have been concerned about. And that man's capacity may keep him from doing what God desires. Because I have the capacity, the ability, that may well keep man from doing what the Lord wishes for him to do. And then connectivity is not always a good thing. You know, here they are, they're all together. There's this matrix of people and interconnectivity. Well, what's the problem with that? The problem was, maybe they were with some good people, but maybe they were with some bad people too. They were with everybody. And being with everybody is not always a good thing. So that may be something for us to think about and make some application to ourselves. Now this is somewhat of an exaggeration, but I think it speaks very loudly to this issue. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Can he use this little thing? Can he use this little thing to draw us away? To pull us from what we ought to be doing? these devices? Can He use them? Can He use them as His own, even though it's such a blessing? Can He use it? Yes, He can. And He is. And so we must be careful and not be ignorant of those things. Just very quickly, let me make a few suggestions to you this morning. Start with accountability. Why don't we know each other's passwords? What are we hiding? What is there that we don't want someone to see? If you want to look at my phone, you just let me know. I'll tell you what the password is. But our children don't need passwords. We need to be accountable to one another. And I'm not saying that we're going to invade their privacy in some massive way. That's not what I'm saying. But if there's some reason that you can't get on that phone every once in a while and see kind of what's going on in your child's life, that could be a cause for concern. Let me encourage you to go on a digital fast to get away from this from time to time. Start the day instead of looking immediately at that thing to say a prayer to God and ask His help. To leave electronics outside the room, especially at night, would be a good suggestion. To have purposeful face-to-face encounters with people where you just purposefully make that a decision that you're going to do that. And then have a family discussion about this or to take personal inventory if it's just you. But to sit down at the table and talk to one another about this kind of thing and see how we can best use this to glorify God and be the kind of people that He would have us to be. Let a man examine himself. Am I a lover of pleasure or a lover of God? What describes me? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Philippians chapter 4 encourages us that whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there is anything of virtue and praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what we ought to fill our minds with. And to be reminded that sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Do we rule over technology in our lives? Do we rule over influences that we may very well recognize that are there in our lives? Let a man examine himself and think about that. And then Psalm 119 and verse 59, I thought about my ways. And I need to think about this. You need to think about this. We all need to think about this. And if we need to turn our feet and change direction and make some changes, I hope that we might do that in our lives. It's a hard thing to preach about in some ways because we all love these advancements. And I wouldn't go back, and I don't plan on taking my cell phone out and smashing it after services, but what I do plan on doing is doing a better job personally with this great little device that we now have, every one of us, at our disposal. Life is full of instant things now. Instant access, instant virtually everything. Instagram. The only Instagram that we really need is with God Almighty. That's the instant communication that we need. And I hope that we might reflect on that this very morning, to connect with Him before connecting with anything else. God is good, and He has done everything that He needs to provide for us. His Son was sent to this earth that He might die a cruel death, to shed His blood so that we might have life. And He's provided everything that we need through Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you need to be obedient to Him, to come to Him and to have that kind of relationship with Him. If there is someone that needs to respond this morning, won't you come while we stand?